began with the black mud sound, celebrations that influenced the growth of crops.
The process of blooming were acted out by men and women dancers who imitated the process of fertilization.
Enter Osiris, a young prince allergic to thrones,
who was extremely adept at these mysteries of agriculture.
As he danced, Osiris was regarded by his brother Set as a dilettante. Set hated agriculture
and
nature.
Plant during the day, and at night would celebrate, dancing, singing, shaking, and carrying on so that
Set couldn't get any sleep. The word got out that Set couldn't even dance.
It was true.
Plus, Set was jealous that Osiris had married their sister Isis.
She was fine as she could be.
People began to do the dance of Osiris.
At all times of day.
Well, Osiris couldn't figure it out until Thoth showed up and said, "Listen, the outbreaks are occurring because the mysteries have no text to turn
to. No litany to feed the spirits that are seizing."
And that if Osiris would do the dance steps for Thoth, he would illustrate them, and the Osirian priests could figure out what god or spirit possessed them,
so
as well as learn how to make these gods and spirits depart. The Book of Thoth was the first anthology written by the first choreographer.
And a fleet of papyri boats. They toured the world with his international Nairut orchestra and dancers.
Osiris taught people to permit nature to speak
Dionysus
and dance through them.
As people learned,
because Osiris is teaching people how to make wine and beer and having a good time, Set is going about Egypt saying Osiris is drunk and fornicating and disgracing the name of the fatherland.
He should be able to perform
and he's
the
a fraud. Could he be planted in the Nile and spring from the waters? If he can do that, then Set says he'll go somewhere and sit down and never complain again about people
easy.
Dancing and
Osiris
carrying on.
Osiris had developed such a fondness for nature that people couldn't tell them apart.
When Osiris and his band returned to Egypt, the people came out to greet
that
them,
night,
and there was dancing in a great time.
And the result of this union,
the people gathered
child,
at the mouth of the Nile as the legislators placed Osiris in a coffer and sealed it up
Osiris
with molten lead
before the lid was closed.
The coffer was sunk into the Nile on October
that
the
night,
24th.
The legislators came and raised Osiris. When they lifted the lid, they saw him lying there smiling in deep, death-like slumber. They mutilated him.
On October the
31st,
the people came
fish.
And saw the mutilated corpse, part of which had been washed up on the shore in the open coffer not far away.
There goes your seed, man.
Thoth knew this to be a lie. He demanded an autopsy, was arrested,
Isis
but escaped.
Began to walk about Egypt,
he left the sacred book in Isis'
lamenting
hands.
For her husband.
Set began to hear unsettling stories.
Osiris had been seen in the land.
He had been seen wherever Isis had left a backbone or a toe.
People began
or an
to
arm
call
belonging
Osiris
to Osiris.
The bull, the human
Dionysus
seed.
Traveled to Greece where the dance
Osirian
spread
behavior
like
was seen as an escape from reality.
All of the gods who were rivals of the one they called Jehovah were driven
Set
underground.
Set began to develop a weird relationship to the sun.
But Isis still had the sacred texts, and people were starting to dance
by
and
establishing his
the
own religion based upon Aten, the sun's flaming disk. He thought he could overcome
he would become
the nature
Aten,
religion of Osiris.
The burner of growing things, the Egyptian Jehovah who causes famine, pestilence,
fortunately,
and earthquakes.
Tutankhamun came into power, and the people were allowed to do their stuff.
Now starts the saga of
Moses, the young pharaoh-to-be.
He used to sneak off to the domain of Osiris every time
Moses
he had a
would
chance.
Listen while these men who worked the crops brought the electricity of
these
the earth.
These men who drank
to
from
streams.
The cold blue Nile, whose lips had touched the waters
brought
of the magic
Nile
river.
Brought this Nile sound to their instruments.
Well, one night, they were sitting around, and Moses asked them, what was the heaviest sound
the
they had ever heard?
It was old Jethro, the Midianite, who still
he found Jethro and hung around. And one night, when Jethro put some kind of early harmonica in his mouth and started zipping his fingers up and down on some instrument with about 25 strings and beating his feet on some kind of tinny thing, Moses leaped in the air.
Damn! If I could learn that, I could be the Hierophant of the surviving Osirian order.
So he stayed there to write it all down.
Finally, after a couple of months he was packing up to go, Jethro says,
it's too bad you're leaving because you haven't heard the words to the songs.
The words?
That's a family secret.
A family secret?
Only pass that on to a son-in-law.
So the next day Moses found he was in love with Zipporah, one of Jeffro's daughters.
So he marries her.
Gets the words down.
Is about to leave.
You know, if you could take a trip to Koptos where there is in existence the sacred book written by Thoth himself.
What?
Isis will show you the real book of Thoth. The original sound. The one located in her temple, guarded by the deathless snake.
Deathless snake?
It has to be gotten during the right moon, or it will be the book in its evil phase.
Now he tells me.
So Moses decided to stay around for a bit and think about
this. He went off up into the mountains, decided to fast and meditate for days.
On the night of the 12th day, he was so weak he thought he was going to die.
It was then a vision came to him.
The specter of a man dressed in old-style Egyptian clothes.
Hear me, O Moses.
What?
I know your problem.
You do?
I know you want to get around the deathless snake.
That's possible.
Oh, yes. Isis will succumb to the right words because it's that time of the month.
What words?
First, Moses, promise that you will restore the cult of Aton to Egypt.
Man, the way people are into animal and vegetation rights and calling everything that moves a spirit, I would be the buffoon of Egypt restoring something as arid as that.
You don't want to find the book, okay? So long, Moses.
Man, I must play this book. Come back! Whatever you say, how do I get the book?
You talk trash and feed her.
What?
Sit down, old Moses. I'll reveal it all.
Set told him, and after Moses got it all down, he returned to Jethro's ranch looking like a new man.
He picked up his things and looked like he was trying to tiptoe away.
Where you going, son? Koptos?
I know what I'm doing.
Son. She is in that aspect of herself with this moon, and you won't be able to receive the better side of the book.
Leave me alone, silly old man out here in the backwoods. How dare you talk to me that way? I'm going to be the Pharaoh.
Moses jumped on his horse.
Here's the copyright fee for that junk you taught me.
Jethro took the dollars and flung them at Moses,
who rode off into the night.
Moses arrived in Koptos a few weeks later. He entered the temple.
The air of funk
the room was littered
being dispersed
with tom-toms, pipes,
incense.
And drums.
Several pygmy kings had
fatigued from traveling. Moses lay down and went to sleep. About 2 a.m., he awoke to someone running her hands through his hair.
In a scarlet see-through gauzy gown and covered with the odor of a strange perfume.
Her hair was giant blackbird feathers, her eyes blazing.
I will give you what you want if you give me what I want.
Moses was sweating as she removed her gown, began moving her thighs about his legs, running her hands across his...
I just hope the bird handles me gently.
What have you brought me?
Moses removed from the satchel everything set instructed him to bring.
Yeah? Like that?
Colored scarves.
Yeah.
Jewelry and
one more hair.
For her to eat.
Looks like I passed the test.
This isn't enough.
What?
You must talk to me, baby. Please talk to me.
Set knew his sister.
I mean, you know,
Moses
we can
began
talk a little
to
bit
talk
first,
to her
babe.
The way Osirians talk to her. In their
I see you a very pleasant surprise here.
He told her how much he loved her. He fished her temple good.
That hair is something else, huh?
She showed him all her realms and led him into the depths of her deathless snake, where he fought that part of her until it was limp on the ground.
He got good into her book, tongued every passage, thumbing her leaf, and rubbing his hands all over the binding.
When he was through, he had gotten it all down, had it down pat. He left the goddess in a slumber, collected his gear, and set out for Egypt.
Well, Moses announced to the populace that he would give a concert with music and song better than the black note sound.
That night, people were herded into the concert grounds. Moses began to play Jethro's songs, but people began to imitate snakes, hissing at him, throwing grain up on the stage. Fights broke out.
After the intermission, Moses announced he'd do some songs and dances from the work, the sacred book.
I'd like to thank y'all for coming out here tonight. Right now, I'd like to change up a little bit. I'd like to do some songs and dances from the work.
But a strange thing happened. People's ears began to bleed. Some of them charged the stage to get to him, but the Atonist thugs beat them back.
Hey, wait a minute.
Moses examined his guitar.
Something's wrong here.
The whole audience charged the bandstand. People were stoning the royal chariot as it raced to the palace.
The people surrounded the palace.
Moses thought he could calm them down. He stepped out on the balcony.
Ladies and gentlemen of Egypt, I will unleash the Holocaust upon you if you persist in this action.
A rock busted the cat's lip.
Moses flung his rod to the ground, where it immediately transformed itself into a snake.
They laughed, called him a sorcerer, and other names associated with cheap charlatans.
They began pushing into the palace.
Wait a minute. I got an idea.
Moses ran into his apartment, removed a leaf from the book Isis had given him, returned to the balcony, and uttered the work aloud.
Sundele montandewa. Zunde, Zunde, Daisy. Zula, 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 Zula.
First, there was silence. Then people turned towards the Nile, and they saw a huge mushroom cloud rising up.
A few minutes later, came screaming, and the crowd dispersed.
This was the turning point in the book's history. The practice of the left hand had now arisen to the level of the right hand.
The secrets of voodoo Moses learned from Jethro were taught to his followers.
Moses' explosion made even Set's musicians look small.
Many years later, when Moses returned home one day, he found his people dancing before the despised bull god Apis, the animal which carries the living spirit of Osiris.
Moses heard the heathen sounds, the dark boogie jazz, down-home funk gut bucket he hadn't heard since the old days.
Moses grabbed the awful book from his sons and daughters, who were enjoying themselves, dancing their tails off.
Give me the book! What's the matter with you people? Here I am up there talking to my God, and come back down here, and y'all up here dancing and singing like a bunch of fools. Are you crazy?
He feared the work's power. He hid it, and it became known as one of the lost books of Moses.
Centuries went by until 1118, when the Knights Templar built the headquarters on the site of Solomon's temple.
Hinkle von Vampten was a Templar librarian. It was here he came upon the Book of Thoth.
Von Vampten fled with the sacred book.
The Templars went underground.
A corrupt form of their rites continued as masonry, which also traces its origin to the Temple of Solomon.
Whenever Hinkle traveled, Jesgru would rise his head. He selected 14 Jesgru carriers and paid them a monthly salary just to send the text around.
So it went around in circles.
Well, one of the 14 people on the list, we don't know who, gave the book to Abdul.
Hinkle learned that Abdul had the book. He approached him, and when he resisted, he murdered him.
He left behind a note, stringy, lumpy, bales dancing. Underneath the center lies the bird. We deciphered this and found the book buried beneath the center of the Cotton Club. We knew his plan was to create a spokesman who would prepare the new Negro to resist Jesgru.
And when we heard that tonight he was scheduled to introduce the only Negro poet with any sense, it all became clear, and we rushed right over.
I don't believe a word of it. If Hinkle von Hampton were paying these men to keep the manuscript moving, who would have been so foolish as to give it to Abdul?
Yes, explain that one, will you?
And besides, according to your story, Hinkle von Hampton and Gould would be 1,000 years old.
They are. They learn to cheat death. It's an old Arab formula they learn.
Rubbish, oh my, this is such nonsense.
An ancient manuscript? Absurd. Who would have given it to Abdul in the first place?
I did.
Woody Jackson?
I was known on your list as Willie B. Jackson. You see, I am the Grand Master of the Boyer Lodge number one, at your service.
How did you get interested in this case?
We learned a Knights Templar was in possession of a black sacred book. You can imagine my surprise when the book came to me with Hinkle's instructions. When I learned that Abdul knew the Egyptian writing, I gave it to him.
I'm still skeptical. If you have the book, let me see.
Why, certainly. Herman, while I watch these two, if you'll go and get...
Abulabas, Black Herman. Just Grew is dissolved. I heard it on the radio.
What?
Aha! In times of social turbulence, men like you always abandon reason and fall back upon mumbo-jumbo. For, if Jess Drew were seeking the work and you were in possession of the work, why has it fallen on its face? Answer that one.
Yes, answer that one.
You don't have to answer anything, LaBoss, Black Herman. Me and my men will help you carry these culprits out of here.
No, we'll prove the book is real. Bring in the book, T. Malice.
T. Malice returns with a huge gleaming box covered with jeweled snakes and scorpions. On the top is the seal of the Knights Templar. T. Malice opens it and removes the first box, an iron box, and the second box, bronze. And within this is a sycamore box, and under the sycamore box, ebony, and under this, ivory, then silver, and finally gold, and then empty.
I'll be damned. It's not there.
We'll deliver these men anyway.
This is illegal. You can't remove these men on the basis of such flimsy evidence.
Excuse me. I just have a blackjack here that is looking for an art critic.
Art!
You'll never make this stick. Biff Musselwhite is in Europe, but when he returns...
Hey, where are we going? The Tombs is downtown.
Well, we're jackleg detectives, and we don't have a license in New York. But we do have jurisdiction in Haiti.
Well, what have I done to deserve a visit by such distinguished guests?
I don't like this, H.
Who is this man?
I'm your tour guide. We are going to take you on a little excursion.
I'm gonna sue this man. I have connections.
He does! Yes. Big connections! Don't you?
Yeah,
we're
gonna sue this guy.
How are you going to deal with him?
Yes, I've been wondering about that.
T. Booton will take care of him personally. A rare command performance by the master.
Some Indian priests want me to recover a jewel missing from a great Buddha's forehead. Should keep me busy for a few months.
Call when you return.
Will do.
What do you suppose went wrong?
I don't know. We should have opened the trunk which contained the book. But we were so excited we didn't. Foolish.
Decided that black people could never have been involved in such a lewd, nasty, decadent thing as is depicted here. This material is obviously a fabrication by the infernal fiend himself. He burned it.
What?
He burned the book. It is our duty to smite the evil serpent of carnality.
Censorship until the very last.
That's right. He took it upon himself to decide what writing should be viewed by black people. The people he claimed he loved. Apparently, after Abdul burned the book, Jess Grew sensed the ashes of its writings, its litany, and just withered up and died.
Better luck next time.
What do you think was eating him, Pop?
He set himself up as a roadblock, checking all of the data that passed through the senses of thousands. It was just too much traffic for one man to handle. The energy was too much for him.
Is this the end of Jess Grew?
Jess Grew has no end, no beginning. We'll miss it for a while, but it will come back. And when it returns, we'll see that it never left. You see, life will never end.
There's really no end to life. If anything goes, it'll be death. Jess Grew is life. So, how about something to eat?
Good idea.
After a week of recreation in Europe, Biff Musselwhite, curator of the Center for Art Detention, sails for home on the invincible ship, the Titanic. Haitian withdrawals due soon. A grateful nation pours telegrams into the president's office. According to the White House poll, they are running 20-1 in their endorsement of his stringent methods of dealing with Jess Grew. People may be starving, President Hoover said. Sales may be down, cabarets and speaks closed, but dancing is finished. There are hard, difficult days ahead. We may have to go through a period of anxiety, but if we perish, no one can say we didn't perish with dignity.